Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.
Bonsoir, mes enfants. It is Eric Cantona of the Manchester United football team here. Monsieur Lee and Herring have given me this opportunity to excuse moi myself for what occurred at Crystal Palace this week. This happened because I have within me a raging anger, an anger like the fury of the bear in the gilded cage, and sometimes this anger, well, she must escape. But also, mainly because I have been influenced by watching every episode of TV's The Power Rangers. I love them. The most excellent. Especially Tommy. I hate the potty patrollers, though. Boo. So, you see, it is the Power Rangers' fault. They should be banned, not me. I am innocent. But my attack is not all bad, as it has reintroduced the ancient forgotten martial art of the 1970s, Kung Fu. This week's Lee and Herring show is Kung Fu Week.
Hi-ya! Everybody was Kung Fu fighting. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. From a fainting to a slip, and a kicking from the hip, everybody was Kung Fu. On we took a bow and made a stand. Started swaying with the hand. Sudden motion made me skip. Now we're into a brand new trip. Everybody was Kung Fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they did it with expert timing.
Hello, I'm Stuart Lee.
And Jim Appel, Richard Herring. Nice of Eric Cantona to do that opening for us, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got to pay off that £20,000 fine now.
Yeah, almost 2 hours of his footballing wages down the toilet in one moment of madness there. Kevin Eldon's here again.
All right, and none of that stupid Smeldon stuff this week, please.
Of course not. And stage actress Sally Phillips.
Hello.
Where's Pete?
I don't know. I don't know, all right? Just leave it out.
This record, it's one of those classic records where they put on like a three-note sequence of oriental-sounding music, like Bowie's China Girl or Annika's Japanese Boy, and they have an instant oriental novelty hit you have
there. Not all offensive. I also like the lyric, it's a little bit frightening. In fact, it was just a little bit frightening. How must the old karate monks feel about that?
Yeah.
Awful. I suppose that's why it's died out, though, because
it wasn't
frightening
enough.
Good. Not like karate or kickboxing.
That is scary.
Or guns.
Yeah, guns are more frightening than kung fu, in real terms. It's odd, Rich Pete, not turning up this week without saying anything.
I've told you, I don't know anything about it, all right?
Well, I never said you did, right? I didn't say it had something to do with you. I mean, maybe it's not to do with that argument you had with him after last week's show, is it?
I didn't have an argument.
You did, I saw you have an argument.
Just leave it out, all right? I don't know anything about this mysterious disappearance.
Okay.
What happened?
All right.
Don't know anything about it.
Also, have you seen this new patio that's appeared in the studio over here? Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah, I built that. I thought it would brighten the place up a bit.
You thought some concrete on the floor would brighten the poster up, yeah, but right there.
Yeah.
What about if you got some posters or something? Like those Magic Eye ones from Athena, they're cheap now.
Look, shut up about Pete. Right, I've just remembered he gave me a letter saying he'd gone away to France forever.
Did he now?
Yeah,
Rich,
he did.
Really?
There's no phone in this week anyway, guys. There's a writing competition
bad luck,
at
John
the
Perry.
End. But we are still interested in your chew votes, so keep those coming in. And for your delectation now, here are the current running totals of the chew poll.
Best chew bars.
Cadbury's Chomp, 3.
McCowan's Wham, 4.
The Matlow Blue Refresher, 1.
The Matlow Yellow Refresher, 1.
The Matlow Red Refresher, 1.
The Matlow Stinger, 3.
The Matlow Giant Chew, 1.
McCowan's Lick Bar, 1.
Barrett's Fruit Salad, 1.
Terry Coleman's Lip, 1.
Worst chew bars.
Roy of the Rovers, 1.
The Matlow Yellow Refresher, 1.
Barrett's Blackjack, 1.
McCowan's Dennis the Menace, 1.
Mojo's, 1.
Cadbury's Orange Chomp, 1.
So, with 2 weeks of voting still left, it's wide open. That's the McCowan's Wham currently in the lead. Anything could happen.
That's right. I noticed there, Kev, though, that when you were reading that out, you chose not to mention the Smeldon bar that you were saying.
Of course I didn't.
Well, you know, Owen Thomas, he went to a lot of trouble making that bar, and you didn't
mention
it.
Yeah, well, Smeldon bar isn't a real bar, is it? It's just a muesli wrapped in masking tape. And I will say here and now that I find the whole Smeldon running so-called gag tiresome and not a little offensive.
Well, thanks, Owen. Right.
And an interesting vote there for Terry Coleman's lip. One vote, Terry Coleman wrote in to say he likes to chew his own lip. He's unlikely to win that unless other listeners have been chewing his lip.
That's right, but keep your chew votes coming in to Lee and Herring Show, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A. 1AA. This is the Flamingos, who are at the forefront of the new wave of false English Cockney groups. This is from their debut album that comes out next week, and it's called Disappointed.
And they are actually Flamingos as well.
On 1FM, wasting another valuable hour of your life.
Have you been disappointed by anything lately, Rich?
Yeah, I was disappointed to see that the BBC has commissioned a new series of Jasper Carrot's The Detective.
Disappointed by that? That's a fantastic programme.
Mm, it isn't, though, is it?
Pals excelled in that.
What about you? Have you been disappointed about anything lately?
Well, I was actually, Rich. I was disappointed that Peter didn't come in this week.
Shut up about that, all right?
Well,
look, I don't know anything about it at all. Don't look at me.
I didn't say you did.
He just isn't here.
Well, you see him, wasn't it, though? And this week, as we said, is Kung Fu Week on the Lee Herring, on the Lee Herring Show on 1FM. And Bobby Ball is with us, as you can see. Born again. Yes, Bobby, leave it now. Bobby, stop hitting me. And this week, we're going to be looking at various other forgotten 1970s forms of martial arts.
Forgotten 1970s martial arts. Number 1. Kung Ki Fu. A master of Kung Ki Fu would disable his assailant by reading out a letter containing startling but false news about an acquaintance of the attacker. The news would so bewilder the would-be assailant that fighting would seem inappropriate. However, when the attacker discovered the news was false, he would redouble his efforts to track down and kill the master of this flawed and now obsolete art.
It's been good watching the telly, reading the papers today, this week, because Richard and Judy in the tabloids have been bypassing the legal system and ignoring things like evidence or facts to see what the public think about cases like Lee Clegg and O.J. Simpson's in sort of phone-in, write-in votes. So we've got something we'd like you to vote on.
I have. In my hand here, I have a summons I was issued on Sunday of last week, a week ago, by a London Underground Transport Authority ordering me to pay a £10 fine. Now, in true tabloid and daytime TV style, without giving you any of the necessary information... or evidence as to my guilt or not, what we want you to do is write in to us and say whether you think I'm guilty or not, whether I should pay the fine or not.
And it's up to you. You decide. If you decide he should pay the fine, he will. If you decide he shouldn't, he won't. And we'll see what happens. So
it's
up to you.
Form 4AA44475 for anyone who's next.
If anyone's got the form. Yeah. So we've had some good letters in this week. Thanks to everyone who's written. We'll get back to you as soon as we can, but we obviously have to write things as well, or can't just reply to your letters.
No.
James from Devon said hello to Fat Chris. Hello, Fat Chris. And he's also said, please say hello to any girls who are listening from a boarding school in Kent or Taunton. It must be a single-sex school, this school. So if anyone fits that in Taunton
very
or Kent, single-sex...
description, that, isn't
then
it?
Why not send your reply to James back here and we'll pass it on to him. Hello could be a good response to begin with, and we'll carry on the correspondence like that.
We also got a letter from Nick Zylas, whose name is X-Y-L-A-S. It would be good for Scrabble, that name. He asked us to say hello to AD Nunn for him and to tell her to write him a letter soon, as he hasn't heard from her in ages. Nick, suggestion there. Rather than going through us to communicate with your friends, why not use the mail service in an ordinary way or just ring them up? It's, you know, cut out the middleman. We're not a paging service for you and your
stupid
teenage friends.
More efficient at the end of the day. So that goes for you, James, from Devon as well.
Anyway, here is Simon Quinlank with this week's hobby.
Hello, it's me, Simon Quinlack, the Very Reverend Archbishop of Hobby, with another hobby for you to do. The Lord God's hobby was to create the world and the universe and all that is in 6 days, and then on Sunday he rested from his hobby. But I, Simon Quinlack, am better than God, as I have a hobby for every day of the week. This week I have a good hobby for people who, like the unimaginative Lord of Creation, can't think of a hobby to do on Sunday. What you will need for this hobby?
Some running shoes.
A watch by which to tell the time.
A flask of weak lemon drink.
And a chart detailing the times of all the Christian church services in your area.
This hobby is a good hobby if you like running, drinking alcohol and eating very small pieces of unleavened bread. The hobby is called Christian church crawling. This is how you do it. On Sunday morning, wake early and put on your running shoes and other clothes as well. Check your Christian church service chart and see which local Christian church's Christian church service begins first. My first Christian church service today is at St. Simon the Apollite in Ringfield Road at 6:30 a.m. Run to the first Christian church service as quickly as possible! When you have arrived at the Christian church, sit in the pew and wait for the Holy Christian Communion to begin. When it does, run up and partake of the wine and bread. You must be the first to partake of it, or it doesn't count.
The blood of Christ, the body of Christ.
Thank you, Rector. That was delicious. Now, as soon as you have supped you and eaten you, run quickly to your next Christian church and so on. When you become adept at Christian church crawling and plan your day carefully, you will find that you can time it so you can arrive at each Christian church at the exact time the communion part of the service starts, and so you don't have to sit around listening to all the boring hymns and the vicar's stretched analogies. Oh, I can Today, I have attended 37 communions and run a total of 43 miles.
The blood of Christ, the body of Christ.
Thank you, Rector. Oh, that wine tasted cheap and horrible.
Quiet, please. Stop spitting on my holy vestment. You're making a travesty of the Eucharist.
Quick, drink your weak lemon drink now to rid your palate of the unpleasant taste, or save it for later in case you get a particularly dry piece of unleavened bread. Drink it now!
Get that weak lemon drink out of here. This is the house of God.
Time how long your Christian church crawl took this week and see if you can beat your best time next Sunday. And that's my hobby this week. It is a good hobby, as it is a good way to get exercise and to get drunk for free and to eat some free bread as well. Plus, if you go to only Catholic Christian churches, then they believe in the doctrine of transubstantiation, whereby the bread and wine literally become the body and blood of Jesus. So far, taking Jesus to be the size of an average Nazarene man, I have eaten 9 whole Jesuses plus 1 of Jesus' legs. This is more whole Jesuses than anyone has ever eaten. Neil Petarch says he has eaten 12 Jesuses, but he includes bread and wine he consumed at Protestant churches, and Protestants do not believe in transubstantiation, so he is wrong, and I am still the Jesus-eating king. Neil Petarch has really only eaten 4 Jesuses, which is rubbish. See you next time!
Simon Quinlank there, and there'll be another hobby from him next week, hopefully, and we've got... Oh, there's a call coming through on the studio phone, Rich. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Sorry. This is Mr. Dearsley. I'm Peter's landlord of the Ballam property, and I'm just wondering if I could speak to him, please.
No. He's not here. Bye. Thanks a lot.
No,
bye.
It's just that I haven't seen him for a while, and I'm very worried because I popped my head around the door of the room this morning, and it's completely full of rotting food.
Yeah. Well, that is normal for Pete, if you know him. You can't deduce anything from that.
Yeah.
Mate.
So see him, mate. Bye.
Well, you see, his rent's due, and I was wondering if I could have a word.
Look, I just don't know anything about it, or I just leave me alone. Why is everyone queuing going on about it? I haven't seen him for weeks. Go away, shut up!
What a mysterious call, Rich, that was. It is a shame, Pete. It's a shame Pete isn't here, though.
Shut up.
It's a shame he's not here, because he brings a delight to the proceedings every week.
Also,
he's got a letter in this week from a bloke called Paul, wrote to him and said, Pete could make friends by sitting by a public bin, because they're always in constant use by people, and they'll think the smell is the bin.
Yeah, well,
he's appreciated that.
Maybe the smell's a bit worse than you could even imagine now. Anyway, shock news, nothing. Shock news in today's papers. Mark Owen is in trouble for having been seen with a girl.
Mark Owen from Take That.
From Take That, yeah, of course. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
His manager doesn't allow anyone in Take That to have a relationship for some reason.
They've all agreed for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It goes further. They're not even allowed to have a relationship with friends or their families.
Right. Like monks or something.
They are sort of monks. They're not even allowed to speak to one another.
Are they not?
When you go and see them in a concert, only one of them is the real one in each concert. The rest are Take That automatons, in fact.
This mysterious group.
It's very odd, a strange thing. There's something very odd going on there. I don't know quite what. Anyway, talking of Take That, that leads us almost seamlessly to this next record, which is by Take That and is entitled Everything Changes.
Girl, come over here. Let me hold you for a little while.
Due to Take That's enormous success in South America, Jason Orange is now the most popular name for newborn Venezuelan boys.
Everything changes but you. We've said goodbye. The taxi cabins really tank. Now don't you cry. Just one more kiss before. Change. And so much
That is comprised of male-coordinated 45-year-old singer circus master Gary Barlow and his four dancing 6-year-old quadruplets.
But fact, all the boys have pet hamsters which they take everywhere with them, avoiding quarantine laws by smuggling the hamsters in very secret hiding places.
That was Skin Teen. That was Take That, and then that was Skin Teen with a track called I Had Mark Owen. It's nice. Good. Just shows you don't have to have instruments or anything to make a record. More shouting girls.
Yeah,
in
anyone
rock
who's
and roll.
Any shouting girls out there, send us your records.
If you're girls and you can shout.
Or just a tape of you
a
shouting.
A tape of you shouting would probably sound as good as that. And it was great. I like that. Send
you're listening to 1FM. It's 9:22 and 19 seconds.
To prove we're live.
Currently, Sheffield Wednesday versus Wolverhampton Wanderers is 0-0. So sorry we haven't got any of your phone calls. We're just bored with you. But there'll be another one next week.
John
don't
Kelly.
We love you so
Paul. Kelly.
Remember, though, this week also is Leon Herring's Kung Fu Week. Hiya!
Forgotten 1970s martial arts. Number 2. Hong Kong Fu. A master of Hong Kong Fu had to be a small dog wearing a thigh-length red dressing gown and a mask to hide the fact that he was a dog, as most would-be assailants would be disinterested in fighting a dog, considering it below them. The disguise proved too effective, because although these dogs tended to be quicker than the human eye, once cornered, their canine limbs made them unable to perform the most basic martial arts manoeuvres. And Hong Kong Fu and its practitioners soon died out.
Our guest this week is journalist and columnist Christine Neal. Hi, Christine. Thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Yeah. How you doing? What is it you write for exactly? I've not seen your work for.
The Ironic Review.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What's it's
that?
A
what
sort of
that?
Arts and satire journal for people who are, like, different from, like, most people.
Yeah.
Right. Like the writers are.
Right. And why is it... Why on earth, Christine, is it called The Ironic Review? Ironic.
Well, it's called that, right, because we often take a strange sort of view on things, a stance that no one would expect us to, right, because it's a view that no one realistically would hold.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, after a few issues, right, I thought, right, we shouldn't call it The Ironic Review anymore.
No.
It would be more ironic, right, if it was called The Not Ironic Review.
Yeah.
But then I realised that it would be doubly ironic if we called it The Ironic Review after all, you know, and I think I was right.
It gets confusing after a bit,
doesn't it?
It does, could go on to infinity.
Yeah, what sort of, how do you decide what things are ironic enough for you to like, you know, how do you decide what you like? I'll show you, Stu, right.
Why don't you, right, name something that you think that I wouldn't like.
Okay, you wouldn't like Jim Davidson's Big Break, I reckon.
No, I like that, you see, I like that, I think it's excellent.
Right, yeah.
Name something you think I'd like, right.
Blur, the pop band?
No, see, I don't like them. See, I like Chimney Factory, you've never heard of them, right, but I like them, right? They're not popular now, you'll like them in a couple of months, but then you see, I won't like them, they'll have sold out then, they'll be famous, people will like them.
So, that's how it works, right? So what sort of things are there in the Ironic Review? What's in it?
Well, dispatches from the front line of popular culture.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and competitions, a puzzle page.
That sounds pretty good.
And
my good
weekly
mix
column.
Of stuff.
Yeah, my weekly, yeah.
Well, we've got a recording of one of your columns.
Have you?
Now, yeah.
I always thought that anyone who actively wants to do a weekly column for a magazine should be the last person allowed to do one. I mean, they'll only fill it up with self-indulgent rubbish about their stupid, wrong opinions. But then, right, the ironic review asked me to do one, and I said, no, I don't want to. That would be a terrible thing to do. But then I realised that me not wanting to do it made me the perfect person for the job, ironically. This week, I went out with my interesting friends, Moff and Patty. That's spelled with two I's. And I took drugs at the Ur Club, which is so kicking that no one even knows it's there apart from us. Unfortunately, the drugs took hold at that point, and I can't really remember anything else about the night or the next 3 days. But as it was me doing it, you can be assured it was interesting. This week, I expect I'll go to a club so new that it hasn't even been set up yet and take a drug you've never heard of yet, you idiot. Or maybe I'll try one that you have heard of and think is rubbish, but I'll take it and say it's good, but only really clever people will be able to see I'm right. Bye!
Yeah, that was really great, Christine.
It's very ironic.
Yeah, very ironic.
It was
ironic. And
dripped with irony.
That must, a lot of people must enjoy really reading that. But you've got very different opinions about things.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I like to think I surprise other people constantly.
Well, what?
Well, for example, like, this bloke came up to me in a pub, right? And he said, right, Pulp Fiction. He said, I really like Pulp Fiction. And I said... No, I said, I think it's rubbish. That's surprising.
Pulp Fiction, it's a really good film. It's excellent.
No, I didn't like it
at
all.
What didn't you like about it?
No, I didn't like anything. I didn't like the actors. I didn't like the colours.
Didn't like the colours?
What about the scene with Bruce Willis in the shop? That was fantastic.
Yeah, no.
You know, in the shop, you must remember that.
With the shop, no.
Oh, God. You haven't even... What happened then in the scene with the shop when Bruce Willis went into the shop?
What happened? Bruce Willis went in at shop and he bought... did you buy some flowers?
God, you haven't even seen it. How can you make a decision without seeing something?
Well, I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it.
Oh, that's just pathetic. And you've got this Cockney accent. You went to public school, went to Rodine anyway.
Yeah, I did, but I'm not ashamed of it. I went in an ironic way. I wore my tie the wrong way around, and I ripped up a jumper. I got sent home for ripping up a jumper.
That's ironic.
That's Christine Neal, our guest there, journalist from The Ironic Review.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot. This is the excellent Backbeat with their song... from the film Good Golly Miss Molly.
This is from the soundtrack of the film Backbeat, where they tried to replicate the incompetent and useless sound of the early Beatles by using top American indie rockers. And it's worked.
They start Monday!
Good golly, Miss Molly!
Song are Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth, Greg Dooley from the Afghan Whigs, Mike Mills from REM, I think he used to play for Ipswich, Don Fleming from Gumball, and Dave Grohl from the Flying Pickets.
It's Nirvana, Rich.
Oh, very similar style they've got those two
bands.
She hugged me and she kissed me, made me ting-a-ling-a-ling. Good golly, Miss Molly. So lock the ball. When you're rocking and rolling, can't hear your mama call.
That's rock and roll, actually. They know what they want. They get in there, they get it, they get out again.
That's no problem. 1 minute, 45 seconds long. That's not like the other rubbish that goes on for ages. At least it's over quickly. Yeah. I was reading in the Daily Mail today, actually, about the Beatles. Philip Norman. He sounds like a character made up by us.
Yeah.
Has written an article about how sex destroyed the Beatles. Thought it was quite interesting because, of course, ironically, sex created the Beatles
The sperm met the egg.
It did, so it's
a
double-edged sword. Yeah. Do you think sex will ever destroy you and me, Stu?
No.
Could do. We could give it a go, couldn't we? We already work together and live together.
What a mad thing
a lot.
Be
nice, though, wouldn't it? We could give it a try.
No, it wouldn't be nice.
All right. But
Excuse me, sorry. I'm Gloria Honeyford's PA.
Yeah.
And there's some water leaking from here down into her studio. It's spoiling the show. For her.
Yeah.
I think it's coming from under this patio thing.
Oh, you're right.
I'm going to get the boys in to pull it up.
You can't get the boys in to pull that up because that's my patio that I've made. I can't.
There's water going.
Look, if they need to do it,
no,
if she wants to get it up, Rich, we're going to have to do it. Okay.
Right,
anyway, look, now it's the news with David Nicholl.
Leave it.